in many areas of work, particularly work involves dealing with human health and emotions, case studies can be a very important tool in helping the practitioner of that work. In professions such as medicine, law, counseling, teaching, and most certainly clergy who practice pastoral care, case studies can be a very valuable informing how you approach your work. But what is a case study? A simple definition would be either a true or a fictional story dealing with some issue or conflict in your work that makes you think about how you would handle that particular situation or conflict. For example, one case study that came up in the MAID workshop that myself and Stephen Muir put together has been going for the last couple weeks, and there's one more on next Saturday. MAID, by example, is an acronym for Medical Assistance in Dying. One case study that came up was, let's say there's an individual who dementia runs in his family, and he is deathly afraid of getting dementia. So he wants to make what's called an advance directive, which now in Canadian law is not legal, but the legal experts say is probably coming. An advance directive would be something like, if I get dementia and I no longer know who my partner is as a litmus test, then I would like medical assistance in dying. Straightforward, the person would sign it, that sort of thing. Now let's say to that person, unfortunately, it does happen. They do get dementia. But, and they do forget who their partner is completely. They're a stranger to them. But they're, as happens in dementia sometimes, they're in a happy place. They like being who they are as this new person. They don't care if they don't remember anybody. They like dancing to the music that's in their head. And the stranger comes up to them and says, I'm your partner, here's the thing you signed, and you have to have medically assisted death. What? I don't know you. I don't remember signing that, and I'm perfectly happy where I am right now. What a minefield of ethical, moral, legal problems that is. An interesting case study. I've been thinking about it all week. Anyway, that's an example of a case study. So a case study is a story that is located in a particular context with a particular circumstances. A look at the context and the circumstances can give you a perspective on the issue and lead you to a greater understanding. Reflecting on case studies is key, and it may be fruitful in a number of ways. One, we may remember the way we handled a similar situation in the past, and this might lead us to act differently or perhaps even augment the success we had in the past. Two, it may help us to think of new ways to approach the issue. Three, it could deepen our understanding of the issue at hand, for example, my MAID example. Or four, a case study can provide an alternative angle through which to look at an issue. Therefore, a case study is a safe way to gain knowledge about tough issues and choices. They can also help us to remember that we must take care of ourselves as we take care of others. Now, there is a reason why I've had this rather lengthy definition of what a case study is and how it might be useful for us, because in the gospel passage from Luke that we heard today, the presentation of the Lord to the temple, we can see a number of cases for pastoral and theological reflection. So I will deal with them as I see them and in the order in which they come. The first one is very brief, all but two verses. These verses describe Mary and Joseph bringing the infant Jesus to the temple for the Mosaic ritual of purification, or a burnt offering to God, usually a goat or a calf. And this was to grace or purify the newborn child. Two aspects of this part of the story jump out at me. One is the birth is both a beginning and an end in a kind of a way. And with that of Jesus, of course, this is manifestly true and important. We see here in the story the manifestation of his special nature and the mission that he will be sent upon, spreading the good news, becoming clearer and more defined. But even more importantly, theologically and very much pastorally, this is a brief description that makes us reflect upon the keeping of our faith in our faith community. As mentioned, ancient Israelite religion required an offering, a sacrifice to the temple, particularly for the firstborn of a couple. Depending upon the couple's financial ability, different sacrifices were acceptable. The least acceptable sacrifice, that is to say, the poorest of the poor, would least give two turtle doves or pigeons. And this is what, because they were the poorest of the poor, this is what Mary and Joseph offered to the temple. The birth of any child, absolutely regardless of the amount of money the parents may have, brings with it great responsibility. In bringing Jesus to the temple, Mary and Joseph are not only honoring their faith commitments, they are recognizing that theirs is a very special child of God, as all children are to all parents. This part of the story, therefore, as a case study, may also play part in reminding all parents of their responsibilities that inherently come with the birth of their new special child. As a case study, these two verses also remind us today that there are rituals to encourage moms and dads in the great work of their parenting. Baptism, of course, comes to my mind. And of course, it also reminds the parents, as in the case of the liturgy of baptism, that it takes a community to raise a child, and that they do not walk alone. They should not walk alone as they bring up their special one. Indeed, it is a reminder to both parents and the community of faith in which they are a part of. The second case study is that of Simeon, and I love Simeon. I really appreciate how the author of Luke weaves the story of this old and wise man into the story of Jesus. Simeon is a very elderly man carrying a great and enduring hope. Simeon has been waiting for this day, waiting for the Messiah to enter the temple for many years, and with the grace of God, it has finally happened. His hope is fulfilled. While Simeon is, of course, rejoicing, and of course, rightly so, he also represents a wider and more nuanced cautionary tale of reality. At the birth of every child, family and friends gather around and with each other and in their own way think about and express the great hopes that they have, but also the fears that can and do accompany the growth of a child into adulthood. Most of these people accentuate the positive and stay more silent with the obstacles and challenges surely to come. However, Simeon is a little different. He will be honest enough, and perhaps we might even say courageous enough, to tell the parents what lies in his heart. The passage says that Mary and Joseph were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. They heard the good news, and they heard it clearly. But Simeon was also honest enough, and some might even say caring enough, to let them know that there's painful news as well. No parent wants to hear distressing news about what might happen in the future to their special gift from God. But it could be argued that every parent, in order to be effective, responsible, and all-loving, needs to hear from someone, if they've never had a child before, that raising a child is not without some pain, it's not without some suffering, it's not without some frustration, and unfortunately, at times, it's not even without some grief. The fact is, difficult times do lie ahead, as well as the many, many special and wonderful and life-giving memorable ones as well. The third case study is that of Anna. Anna has many similarities to Simeon. Both are prophets. Both have wisdom that comes with a great age. Both have spent most of their life in the temple, and both have the Holy Spirit guiding them. Anna witnesses and is testimony to that of Simeon and gives the story of Jesus more weight, more power. She also offers praise and thanksgiving to God for the birth of Jesus and for his ministry to come. As well, just like Simeon, she reminds the reader about the hopes and fears surrounding this child. Anna alone, though, talks to the people in the temple and declares that Jesus will be the one who acts as the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption, by the way, in purely translated, means buying back or repurchase. Anna therefore broadcasts to the village that this child is here. The fourth and final case study is Jesus himself. With the love and grace of God and the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph and the hopes and dreams of Simeon and Anna, Jesus is almost literally launched into a life and as the person of God, as God intended him to be. And so it should be with every child, launched into life, as in the case study of Jesus. Every child should be held up and nurtured in a loving and faithful community. Every child should be encouraged and supported by those around them and those who know them, even those who might be unknown. Every child should be surrounded by the light of God's grace, because every child is created in the image of God. When I meet godparents or sponsors for the baptismal preparation class, the final thing I always say is this: do your best to raise this special person, the special gift you have been given from God. Raise them as best you can to love. Teach them to love themselves. Teach them to love all other people. And the only way I know how to do this is to love them with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And it's a really hard job, and at times you'll fail, but that's okay. We're all human. In short, the baby Jesus teaches us the greatest case study of all, that unconditional love is forever and ever.